Radio Prague News.
The Czech intelligence services are investigating an imam formerly active in Prague. 8 refugees have arrived in the country under the EU quota system. And 2 months after the Brexit vote, the Czech embassy in London reports a heightened interest in Czech citizenship. The Czech intelligence services are investigating an imam formerly active in Prague who apparently tried to radicalize the Czech Muslim community, the news site IDNES reported. Imam Samer Shehadeh reportedly tried to dissuade members of the Muslim community from attending a Christian mass in a show of solidarity with people of a different faith by warning them that it would amount to a betrayal of Islam. Recordings of him preaching also indicate that he was more radical than the community assumed. According to Romana Červenková of the Czech Muslim community, Shehadeh was a self-proclaimed imam without official accreditation and the community quickly distanced itself from him. Shehadeh reportedly spent a brief time preaching in Bratislava, from where he was forced out as well. 8 refugees who had been in Greece arrived in the Czech Republic last week under a European Union quota system for redistributing refugees. The group was subjected to security checks before being accepted. A total of 12 refugees have now been accepted in the Czech Republic under the EU scheme, which Prague had opposed. The Czech Republic is due to take in just under 2,700 people by the end of next year. 2 months after the Brexit vote, the Czech embassy in London reports a heightened interest from British nationals with Czech roots in acquiring Czech citizenship. According to the news site aktualne.cz, the embassy is getting dozens of calls a day with requests for information regarding travel to the Czech Republic after Brexit and the possibility of having dual citizenship. Over 100 requests for Czech citizenship have been filed in the past 2 months alone. Aktualne.cz says embassies of other EU member states in Britain are getting similar requests. Prague Zoo has signed an agreement with Beijing Zoo on the loan of a golden snub-nosed monkey. The breed, indigenous to central and southwest China, cannot presently be found outside of Asia. Prague Zoo would thus be the first European zoo to acquire a specimen. The agreement also pertains to the loan of giant pandas, for which Prague Zoo is currently building a special pavilion. 2 passenger trains collided near the town of Chvalkov in southern Bohemia on Tuesday morning, injuring 9 people, including 3 children. According to a police spokeswoman, none of the injuries were serious and all patients were treated in Pahrimov Hospital. The cause of the accident involving local trains on short routes is being investigated. Preliminary findings suggest human error was to blame. Neither of the trains was derailed during the accident. The preliminary damage estimate is around 800,000 crowns. A Czech Airlines flight from Prague to Düsseldorf was forced to make an emergency landing in Frankfurt on Tuesday morning after the pilot reported a technical problem. According to a ČSAR spokesman, the plane landed safely and the company arranged for an alternative flight to Düsseldorf for the 55 passengers on board. The plane is now being inspected by technicians in Frankfurt. A large fire broke out at one of the Czech Republic's biggest coal-fired power stations in Chvaletice, East Bohemia, in the early hours of Tuesday morning. The blaze occurred in part of the power station that feeds coal into its boilers. Firefighters from 13 stations fought the blaze. The power stations was disconnected from the network and will remain out of operation for several weeks at least. The damage has been estimated at 50 million crowns. The Czech Republic is currently hosting the Ample Strike 2016 military exercise involving 1,500 soldiers from 17 NATO member and partner countries. The 3-week air-land integration exercise will take place in 6 operating areas across the Czech Republic, as well as involving air bases in Germany, Hungary and Britain. Its aim is to harmonize forward air controllers with the aircraft crews and ground forces commanders. For the first time this year, the exercise will involve active reserve troops as well. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be warm and sunny with daytime highs reaching 27 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, the sets of a 1 billion crown TV production in Prague are destroyed by fire. The Czech energy regulator makes moves to encourage lower gas prices for households. And we visit one of Europe's few libraries of materials and fabrics that's here in Prague. Well, that's coming up in today's program. A fire at Prague's Barrandov Film Studios has destroyed the sets for a blockbuster television series about the Knights Templar in the 14th century, which was set to pump over a billion crowns into the local economy. Shooting of Nightfall, a 10-part series produced by Hollywood star Jeremy Renner, had been due to start last weekend. Ruud Frankova spoke to David Minkowski of Still King Films, which co-produces the series, about the extent of the damage.
Well, the damage in physical loss is somewhere around 75 million crowns. We're still estimating the cost of what was lost because it's not just the set construction and the props, but it's also different equipment that was on the set at the time.
Do you have any idea what was the cause of the blaze?
Not officially. The fire investigators are still working on it, and they're going to let us know officially when they issue a report. So we're waiting like everybody else.
Have you considered moving out of Prague due to the incident?
No. The American producers and the studio producing the project, A&E Studios and the History Channel in the U.S., are 100% committed to staying in Prague and completing the series here. We filmed a small piece of the story in Croatia, but it was only a small part, and the main part of the story and the majority of the filming is for Prague, and that's where everybody is committed to stay.
The shooting was scheduled to start at the weekend. Will it have to be postponed, and will it be affected in any way?
Well, it will definitely be affected, but we are trying to film other sets and other locations as much as possible, and we hope to be able to change our schedule and keep shooting and at the same time start to rebuild the set and come back once it's finished and complete the filming. It's our hope that while there may be some delays, that overall we'll be able to complete the film and rebuild the backlog.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the set and how long do you think it will take to rebuild it?
Well, the set is Paris in the 14th century. So there are a lot of streets of Paris, exteriors, the Royal Palace, and other areas of Paris that existed in the 1300s. And it took about 14 weeks to build the whole thing from start to finish. So we have to do that all over again.
And how long are you planning to be shooting here in the Czech Republic?
Well, originally, we planned to finish in November. We started at the beginning of July. So we're going to try to stick to that schedule as much as we can, but it's quite possible we will end up shooting a little bit longer as we wait for this set to be rebuilt.
Are incidents such as this one common? I guess you have been insured because you have to take this into account.
Yes, of course. We have insurance. Every movie has to have insurance for all possible events. And according to our insurers, it is actually fairly common. It may never have happened to me or to us in Prague, but unfortunately it happens from time to time.
That was David Minkowski of Still King Films, and he was speaking there to Ruud Frankova. Czechs could be forgiven for being confused about how to get the best price for natural gas, since the market was flooded with offers from dozens of traders and sellers since it opened up over the last decade. The National Energy Regulator has now stepped in with a helping hand after its probe uncovered huge price variations. Chris Johnstone reports.
The Czech National Energy Regulator has long suspected that Czech households were missing out on a steep drop in gas prices. Spot prices have slumped to around a third of what they were around 3 or 4 years ago. And its probe of the local offers to customers appears to have backed up its suspicions that many Czechs were not getting the best deals. The regulator, though, faced a fundamental problem. It has powers to please just a small part of the final bills for customers, covering gas distribution, storage and other costs, but not the price paid for the basic commodity itself, which usually comes in at around 80% of the overall total. In a bid to help Czechs get a handle of what they should be paying, though, the regulator is now going to publish indicative prices, which will be updated every quarter. It's already found that 70 to 80% of current charges for basic needs, such as using gas for cooking or heating, are above its first batch of indicative prices. Vladimir Otrata is a deputy head of the regulator and says that the differences between the prices it recommends and those in effect are considerable and the possible annual savings to consumers substantial if they choose to react.
We estimate that it could be between 5 and 8 billion Czech crown could be difference between this indicative prices and what is offered on the official tariffs.
The office reckons that the annual value of the Czech household gas market is around 30 billion crowns a year, so the potential for savings could come in at somewhere between 15 and 25%. The real savings, though, are unlikely to be nowhere near such levels. One reason is that some Czechs have already locked themselves into fairly long-term gas purchase contracts of perhaps 3 to 5 years, which they cannot easily get out of. A small fraction of the prices might be better than the indicative ones, and in spite of the regulator's best efforts, inertia will always be a big factor with many customers reluctant to switch suppliers. Still, the regulator does expect what it describes as its courageous move to have a quick and discernible impact on the market. And it's looking at the local electricity market as well, with a view to whether similar indicative prices there might be appropriate. The Czech Republic is currently the odd man out in Central Europe, with the National Energy Regulator having minimal powers over the final price of gas for households. But given its experience this time round, the regulator has made no secret that it would like to see its powers boosted in the future, so something along the lines of maximum charges could be set sometime in the future.
That report was by Chris Johnstone. Now, in the final part of our programme today, Ruth Frankova takes us to a library of fabrics and materials here in Prague. That's for this week's edition of In Focus.
Snail poo paper, glowing fibre or fabrics made of metal. These are just some of the hundreds of material samples that can be found in the Library of Materials, located at Prague's district of Břevnov. The aim of Materio is to serve as an inspiration for students, designers and other creative professions. They can either search its online database or come to the library to be able to touch the samples stacked on its shelves. I paid a visit to the Library of Materials to meet with Pavlína Jochcová, one of the people behind the project, and I first asked her to tell me more about its history.
Materio was established in 2000 in Paris by young French team Elodie Terno and Quentin Hischinger, and they were both and still are very curious about innovative materials, about science and design and industry, and they believe that innovation may come from meeting new materials. So this is why Materio was created. And Materio Prague was established in 2011 by Happy Materials, company Happy Materials, and with a contribution of European Union grant. So we are here for 5 years now.
So if I understand it correctly, Materio is running an online library, and they also have real libraries where you can actually look at the samples and touch different materials.
Yeah, right. We have an online database which all three branch offices, they share this online database. And then we have three showrooms where you can find physical samples of materials.
So where exactly are these showrooms apart from Prague?
The flagship is in Paris. Then we have Brussels and Prague. Hot news is that we are planning to open two new showrooms in Asia soon. So we'll be international.
How many samples have you got at the moment in the online database and here in your showroom?
In online database, there is about 7,500 samples or ID cards of materials. And here in Prague, we have approximately 2,000 materials, which are divided into 10 groups according to relevant material families. We have fabrics, metals, stones, then we have composites, papers, wood, glass, ceramics, polymers, and a group named others, where we put everything, for example, from nature or some material curiosities.
So what are some of the rarest or perhaps most peculiar materials that you have here?
For me personally, the rarest one is certainly snail poo paper. It's basically paper made of snail excrements. And the other one, really bizarre, I think, is a mattress made of human hair. But it's very useful because human hair are great absorbents of oil pollution. So it's great for ecological disasters and so on.
Do you think I could also ask you to show me some of the most interesting materials or those that you find particularly interesting?
Okay. From the fabrics, we have, for example, very nice and incredible metal fabrics, which are usually used in architecture and interior design or scenography.
So these are really made of
metal? Yeah, made
metal.
Of metal, yeah. Then we have some fabrics from recycled PET bottles with coffee grain. This is also very interesting.
So now we are in the paper section?
This is still fabrics. We have, for example, very traditional materials. This is handmade paper from bark tree. There is another type of the bark cloth. Very old African knowledge of making this fabric.
So you really do have materials from all over the world?
Yeah, we have.
Do you also have material produced here in the Czech Republic?
Yeah, we have very nice handmade wallpapers and wrapping paper. Then we have, for example, glowing fiber, like photoluminescent. This is also a Czech product.
And what is the most valuable material that you have here?
Valuable? The most expensive maybe is the aerogel from NASA originally, and it is material based on silica, which was originally used for spaceship collecting space dust into this material.
How do you actually search for all these materials?
In fact, it's very hard and never-ending work. Our teams constantly identify new materials all around the world. So we regularly attend fairs and design shows, and we browse through some university press releases. We collaborate with scientists, with research teams, with universities and manufacturers of materials. And I have to say that we are completely independent toward manufacturers of materials, so we can guarantee to our clients a very objective opinion on materials and objective information about materials.
Who are your typical clients? Who are the people who come to your showroom?
Materio is dedicated to architects and designers, as well as any other creative professionals, and of course to students. Our clients are also companies that want to innovate their products or they want to develop new materials. So we help them to gain information, all what they need, and we train their design departments or research teams.
So how does it work when they want to come here and look at the materials?
They come with a hunger for inspiration. They just want to touch samples, to look at the materials and to have some opinion and to know how it works and how it will work for their projects. Or they have some project and they need to find good material solution. We provide them information about materials and some consultancy service, of course, and we provide them contacts to the manufacturers. So afterwards, they can contact manufacturer and deal some specific details of their project with them directly.
So all the materials that are displayed here in the showroom are actually available on the market and can really be purchased?
Yeah, it should be, because it's dedicated to professionals. But sometimes, because we have a lot of materials, thousands and thousands of materials, it can happen that some materials are no longer available or not too widespread. But it's very rare.
You told me that among your typical clients are designers, architects, various artists. I believe that Materio has some very famous clients who cooperate with them. Is that right?
Yeah, but Materio pays attention to all clients, to students as well as the big companies international. But we have some well-known branch companies from fashion, from automotive industry, or from electronics and so on. For example, Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Panasonic, Nokia, Jean Nouvel Architects, or Philip Stark Design Studio, or Rolex, Honda, Škoda Auto, and so on.
Apart from running the library or showroom here in Prague, you also offer or you teach courses. Mm-hmm. One of them, I believe, is at the University of Applied Arts in Prague, and it's a course called Materiology.
Yeah.
What do you teach in that subject?
We found that students usually have good knowledge about materials that are commonly used in their specialization. But when it comes to anything else, they are a little bit lost. So we try to give them through Materiology everything what they should know about materials in general to be able to communicate with manufacturers and processors of materials and to be open-minded to everything what is new and exceptional.
How important is it to have this knowledge of various materials in these professions?
Of course, that I think that the material is one of the key elements of every project. And as Elodie Ternot always says, there is no good or bad materials. There are only good or bad applications of these materials. So knowledge of material is something what can, to architects and designers, help with this. Mm-hmm. So very, very, very important.
What would you say are the biggest trends in the use of materials at the moment?
There are many tendencies when it comes to material trends, but I can highlight, for example, quick rise of nanotechnologies and smart textiles, wearable technologies. On the other hand, of course, environmentally friendly materials and return to the nature and craftsmanship. Mm-hmm. This is the main trends nowadays.
That was Pavlina Yachtsova of the Materio Library, who was speaking there to Ruth Frankova. And if you have any comments about today's program here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.